Good evening, James McKenney here with My Science Hour, January 15th, 2015. Many, many topics to cover tonight. The elections, they're already putting up the usual list of suspects. That's what I call it. I remember that. I love that 1940s movie by Bogart called Casablanca. And at the very end, the constable and Bogart, who is Rick in the movie, there's a shootout with the police at the end, and the capitan, so to speak, the official kind of governor of Morocco, says to the other policemen that are there, go round up the usual suspects, and they all go running off. And it's the whenever something happens there, they blame it on a usual list of suspects. And that's what we have with elections here. Elections come up. It's the usual list of suspects. I don't even have to name them. They're all the minions of the New World Order, those people with egos busting through the seams that need to be have their egos stroked and will do anything necessary for their little egos to become president. And the worst of all is, I'm not even going to go into it because it doesn't warrant any real commentary other than we have not lived in a democracy for a very long time. Also, stay away from CNN.com. When you go there, there's some like little pop-up window that you have to agree to some new kind of use terms, and it's not worth reading anyway. The only reason I ever went there before was to see what kind of baloney they were trying to push off on the public. Candy Nugget News. Anyway, once again, not worth a lot of mention other than just don't even go there. There has been a barrage of false advertisement regarding water filters lately. And I'm not going to mention brand names other than here's how you tell if it's real. If people are promoting testing, and I've seen just amazingly bizarre claims. Inevitably, these tests are done by the people who are selling the products or people they have become associated with economically. These are not valid tests of any sort. There are national testing standards and laboratories. The primary one is called NSF. And you will find also another way to test if a product has been tested and certified by the recognized standard test centers is to ask the people, can your product be sold in Iowa and California? Also, Massachusetts is another one. So anyway, the short of the story is beware of testing. And there's one brand, and I'm not mentioning names, that is has just many bizarre claims regarding the filter elements primarily. And like I say, look at who is doing the testing. And inevitably what you'll find out is they're presenting tests that they paid for with agencies that are not standard, independent, recognized testing agencies. Now I want to talk about my filter elements. They are tested. They can be sold in all states and around the world, and they go every place. So that's really the simple question. So when somebody starts boasting about their testing or whatever water filter or have a chart or whatever form they're presenting this in, just ask the simple question, can it be sold in Iowa or California? And when they come back and say no, the reason that is because those states have prohibited the sales of those products in those states, prohibited them because of false advertising claims. So at any rate, that's the short version of that story. Weather.com, back in the news this week, they have presented a tremendous amount of misinformation regarding how hurricanes form. The standard story for how hurricanes form is that you need warm water. But as I have pointed out repeatedly, warm water is not a source of heat to create a hurricane. How do you, this is simple thermodynamics 101 physics. In any natural system, this is a naturally occurring system, the energy dissipates. Now, if you have warm water on the ocean, how do you concentrate that into an organized form of wind, and not only just wind, but tremendous wind, the most powerful winds on the planet, the biggest, most organized storm, and then maintain the flow of heat from the ocean into this amazing organized storm? And the answer is you can't. It's ludicrous. It's beyond absurd. It contradicts every known law of physics. And so what they come up with is, oh, there has to be some other element that gets this storm going. And so they talk about rotational air masses off the coast of Africa. Well, how do the rotational air masses start? What causes them to rotate? And so that what this is strictly fairy tale science, because there's no moving source of energy. They can't go back to basic first level principles. So at any rate, what they do is they go through five different supposedly effects that combine into creating hurricanes. Total misinformation. But the real story, of course, I'll tell you how hurricanes really do form. And they not only form on Earth, they can form on Mars where there is no water at all. We have photographs of hurricanes on Mars. And there are hurricanes on Jupiter. There are hurricanes on, now they have some new cyclonic storms on the planet Uranus, which just formed. And where is the warm water on Uranus to cause hurricanes? So it's just ludicrous science, but this is what's being pawned off on the public through that wonderful Rothschild-owned disinformation center called weather.com. And they have a whole host of government scientists who work on this in what is known as the National Hurricane Prediction Center, complete fairy tale science. And a couple years ago, William Gray and his assistant quit, came out with a public statement, and he was one of the primary people who developed this whole list of factors, which they use in their computer models. And he said, none of this has any reality at all. He says, nothing we have done for 20 years has any validity, and he quit. Yet the Hurricane Prediction Center and their fairy tale science continues. But it's very important to keep the public stupid about this, because if the public realized that hurricanes were caused, as I have explained in my weather work, hurricanes are caused by direct electrical input into this planet, the connection with the discharge of the solar capacitor, and that's what all of these other planets are doing. They are locally discharging the solar capacitor, and that electrical energy, when the current flows, it attaches to the upper ionosphere, causes a rotational spin in the upper atmosphere, and that attaches all the way down to planet Earth at the ground. And when you have storm systems moving across Africa, which is common in the summertime, then those storms, the cloud systems reaching up, act like electrical fingers. That's where the discharges connect into. And this peaks in the month of August when we are crossing through a region in outer space called the return current sheet. That's why the sun doesn't keep building up and building up negative charge, as there is an excess current of protons in the solar wind moving outward from the sun. That there is a return current sheet that occurs in the month of August. And that's what keeps the solar system in balance electrically. That's one of the returns. Another return is through comets, through the planets, etc. And so the planets discharge the capacitor less because they're in circular orbits. They're running through a zone of equipotential. But when they cross through this zone in August, that's when things get a little different in the electrical conditions in the solar system. Okay, so anyway, more of that, you can read about that in my weather book and my other books. But just a comment is, you know, the amount of misinformation being pawned off on the public. I read an analysis the other day talking about the economy, which I'll be talking just a little bit about here. But they said that the misinformation being passed to the public is so complete. And that was really kind of the term they were using. That's paraphrased. But essentially, everything you see in the news is misguided information. And so that's why, you know, the entire controlled schmooze news is so bizarre, because it's almost like you can't read it anymore. Everything there, everything, is a lie. It's a cover-up. It's a twisted story. I don't care if it's the Paris shootout. I don't care if it's 9/11. I don't care if it's weather.com talking about hurricane formation. Everything out there. But anyway, I would estimate that probably about 80% of the public believe all of this, thinking that they're educated, they're listening to the evening news, they're informed, whatever. And there's probably, I'd say, a good part of them that, you know, have an inkling that something's wrong, but can't figure it out and never take the time because they're too busy trying to feed their family or whatever. And also the educational system. The majority of people who are the majority of people in this country are have kids in school, or a big percentage, let's put it that way, have kids in school. They're too busy to try and sort all of this out. So by the time they figure out that they've been had, they're old, in the process of losing their house, their retirement, and everything else. And it's too late to try and bring them back to reality. And so at any rate, enough on that. But just you have to understand, that's one thing I try and teach people on this show, is how to read through the lines, read between the lines when you're seeing the news, listening to it, hearing it on the internet through the standard outlets. There is so much money built on misinformation. It's just unbelievable. And science is the worst of all. An interesting follow-up on a story I covered last fall, and this was with a source of information coming from my good friend John Moore. He told me, he called me up one day, I think it was like November probably, and he said, something strange is going on. He said, all of the oil reserves are empty. They have not brought in new oil at the current pricing. And we're going, well, gee, what the heck's going on here? So now we know. Here's the chapter, the ending chapter on that. They knew, and this was building, of course, because of the situation in Crimea and Ukraine, and with Putin pulling out of the dollar, everything else. And by the way, if you hear some noise in the background, I'm kind of in the construction zone here, so you might hear some banging and other noises. Just hopefully ignore that. But the oil reserves, completely empty. So obviously they knew that the price of oil was going to fall. So you sure wouldn't want to be sitting on expensive oil and investing in expensive oil when the prices were going to drop. And you'd be sitting there with your money invested in the futures, in the stock reserves, when the price was going to fall dramatically. So anyway, you can tell that the insiders know these kind of details. We were looking for something else, a little nefarious, more nefarious to occur. But the simple end result is that they knew that the oil prices worldwide were going to have to fall to try and compensate for what Putin was doing, basically selling oil outside the dollar, selling it for a lower price, and selling it around the world, just like Venezuela is doing. That's why they consider them an axis of evil. They pulled out of the European banking system. They've pulled out of selling oil under the dollar, which is the European banking international standard for money, which ain't no more. So at any rate, there's another piece of misinformation, that Russia is somehow has an economy that's collapsing. No, Russia is doing quite well. They're just not buying from the West. So the spin that you get out of the Western press is, oh, how terrible it is for Russia. What they have done is they bolstered their economy and, like many economies, have completely pulled out of the West. That was the Gaddafi's crime in Libya. He had created a most amazing, beautiful country, and they went in and destroyed it and killed him. Why? Because he wasn't dealing in the dollar, the European Banker International Standard for Money. Okay, so anyway, that's the end of the story on the oil reserves last fall. We finally have the answer in as to why that was happening. Just another note here. The economy in the U.S. has, well, it failed a long time ago. But right now, what you're seeing, and this is official, the list of store closings, and we're talking about the standards. I'm not talking about the mom and pop store, which they're closing also, but they're not in the news because they only have one store, maybe a couple stores locally. But the big chain stores are dumping stores like crazy. And this has a whiplash effect all the way back to the suppliers, the chains of purchasing. And literally, the public is out there not spending money at all. They're trying to hold their money, and that's what I recommend that you do. The other thing, of course, is to be prepared. And because the economy has collapsed, there's no retail economy in the United States anymore. There's a bit going on, and for people that might have a fixed income, they have their fixed income and are spending it, but you can't run an economy on retired people with fixed incomes. It's not a good plan. Ask the state of Hawaii, who has crunched completely under just really stupid laws, high taxation of individuals, draconian laws regarding the sale of real estate and businesses within the state. They have to pay a non-resident taxation there. So who on earth is going to invest in a place like that for an investment when all of your money is sucked up with the capital gains tax, with the local Hawaii tax, and then income tax? I mean, nobody in their right mind would put a penny there. And that's what's going on. There's 70% unemployment. There's nothing going on for the youth. And other states, too, like California, is absolutely bankrupt. And New York State is going the same route. In Minnesota. Minnesota, the people are fleeing from Minnesota like crazy because the draconian stupid laws. Anyway, I've talked about that before. But the end result is right now the entire U.S. economy has failed. There is no retail activity going on. But then here's the reason I'm pointing this out is because as those sales jobs, as those lower level jobs are lost and people lose their houses, banks, sheriffs are going to be coming around foreclosing. There was a second wave of foreclosures in Florida this past Christmas time, and the investors, the big block investors that purchased previously large blocks of homes in economic packages from the banks, they are not buying the current wave of foreclosures. So these foreclosures are sitting squarely on the banks, and they're being bought, they're being bailed out by federal funding, but the housing market is just absolutely collapsed. So at any rate, the U.S. economy has officially collapsed, but the important thing for you is that following this, there are going to be pockets of social collapse, like Ferguson, Missouri, will be occurring all over the place, basically because people, what you might call the basic working person in this country, they're going to be going out, they're going to be stealing whatever they can do because they have no other source of revenue than to go out and steal whatever they can find. So social collapse is going to spiral, and I predict that this summer you will see a lot of that resulting from social collapse in the United States. And then the expanding police state will have a clash with that. Things are not looking good in the good old USA. And that's why I wanted to contrast that with what's going on in Russia. They have pulled out of this whole baloney Western banking system, and they're moving their future. Putin has purchased tremendous amounts of gold. And so the story you're getting in the United States on Cuba, Bolivia, Venezuela, Russia, countries like Syria and other countries, Iran, which is completely out of the cycle of Western economy. There are a number of economies going on in the world right now, and they don't cross at all anymore. The United States, when the IRS passed its law, it started last September 5th, Congress passed a law requiring foreign countries to notify, and citizens in foreign country to notify the U.S., the IRS, of any banking activity in foreign countries. What they did is they simply closed out all those accounts. So once again, instead of having some kind of positive effect, their goal was to collect taxes. What the foreign banks did was simply shut down those accounts. So no American businesses or individuals have accounts in foreign banks now. How do you do business? So the IRS, through once again stupid draconian laws, has destroyed the economy, any hope of economy for Americans in foreign countries. It's just is beyond absurd. So at any rate, but the whiplash effect is like France is hurting tremendously. They got most of their gas and oil from Russia. They're not getting it now, so they're on their way to Syria to try and attack Syria along with NATO. This is the situation, and that's what, by the way, the whole this shootout in Paris was nothing more than a mock-up terrorism to allow France to go into Syria to get oil. And what it didn't help that France's political scene is becoming very anti-Israeli. And the political parties there, which are gaining tremendously in strength, in fact are dominant in France, they voted to recognize Palestine in the UN, for example. And some people thought that that's what the Charlie Hebdo shooting was all about. That may have been one of the tickets on the table, but once again, a huge false flag event coordinated between the French French operators of the World Bank in France, who are losing politically. They had to do something to rouse the ire of the French public. And really, the majority of people in France and around Germany and other countries don't believe for a minute that that was Arabs at all. That was a stage between Mossad and the French military government that is based, their ownership is based in the European World Bank. But the majority of people in France want to get off the euro. England wants to get off the euro. Hungary has moved politically. The majority of the people want to get rid of the World Bank altogether, just like Iceland did, and arrest the bankers. So anyway, enough on economics, but it's very complicated, but certainly that's not something you're listening to on the evening news. Switching the topic to cold weather, I don't care where you are on this planet, you are experiencing much colder than normal weather. This is the third year in a row we have had a deviation from normal on the cold side. This is worldwide. This is not just where you are. This is in the United States. If you're in Russia, Europe, or wherever else you are, the tropical, I monitor the world weather scene all over the world. And the tropical temperatures are a good 10 degrees below normal. So the entire world is cooled down. And so if you're in an area where it's normally cold, like with snow, etc., then things are much colder. You're experiencing a much more severe winter. And so that's all you can say, is that the global warming people keep spouting that, and they're going, oh, well, the cold is... And in fact, I heard somebody, a guy that reads the newspaper and thinks he's smart, spouting that, oh, the cold is an indication of global warming. And I'm like, wait a minute. If it's warm, they would be touting that as a result of global warming. But if it's cold across the entire planet, including in the tropics, you're saying that's a result of global warming? Excuse me, folks. Somebody's smoking some funny weed out there or something. But anyway, it's a government-sponsored program. Once again, complete misinformation, not based on any kind of scientific fact at all. In fact, I have left the posting on my page, that's the NASA satellite results, from October 1st to November 11th of 2014. And it shows the CO2 levels time averaged in around the world, around the entire world. This is measured by a satellite. And it shows conclusively that it has absolutely nothing to do with any man-made source. You can see a couple of the volcanic activity. You can see that CO2 production. The majority of the CO2 is over the Amazon jungle, where it's supposedly being converted into oxygen. So at any rate, that posting I'm leaving as a permanent factor on my homepage, jmccsci.com. I just wanted to mention briefly, remember my webpage, the water filter products that I have there, 10 packs of water filter elements, and I had to raise some prices just a little bit, unfortunately, to absorb my costs of raw materials and the actual products themselves. So, but as I remain with, there are 10% sale on many items there, especially the hardcore, the water filter, the stainless steel water filters, the water filter elements, etc. 10% sale on those. So please visit that. JMCCSCI.com is the webpage. And remember that this is basically a commercial-free radio show. And it is now heard, I want to announce this, by the way, so I pay for the radio time myself. And your purchases on the webpage, which you get products, we don't take donations, there's no government funding, there's no backdoor donor that supports this or anything like that. But the show, I want to mention that this radio show, of course, airs primarily, the first airing is on WWCR, Nashville, Tennessee, worldwide shortwave radio, and I've heard this myself, many parts of the world, tremendous signal. And then Friday night and Saturday morning, of course, it re-airs on WTWW Nashville, frequency 5.830, but also it is heard on Global Star Satellite on the Western Hemisphere. It is heard in the Hotbird Satellite in Europe, Mideast, and Northern Africa. And so that's on Saturday. It's actually airs three times on Saturday in that market, the primary prime time Europe, Mideast, and Northern Africa. So this radio show, and then additionally, of course, the archives are on my webpage, jmccsci.com, going back about 10 years. So remember to listen, go back and listen to those back programs, those going back as far as 10 years ago. And a lot of people do that to get a real education. So when I do these programs, I don't do it just for this week. I try and give information that will be valid in 5 or 10 years from now. So when people at that point are going back and listening, they will be getting an education and understanding what the sign of the times was today. So once again, thanks to all the listeners out there, the growing list of listeners. And the water filter products ship worldwide. Those things have gone everywhere. I don't think there's a country in the world that they have not shipped to. Thanks again. Last fall in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and this is something that came in from a listener, there was a false flag practice event where helicopters came in, and this was like a Homeland Security drill, but they concentrated on the Federal Reserve building. Now, the story was that the local sheriffs, police, governor, nobody knew about this operation at all. And so all of a sudden the helicopters come in, the paramilitary comes land on the roof, comes scaffolding down. I said scaffolding down the side of the building. They were rappelling. That's the mountaineering term where you have a rope and you have like a little buckle loop and you're like sliding down a rope down a mountainside, or in this case down the side of the Federal Reserve building in Minneapolis. So they come in with helicopters, paramilitary. This is a simulated attack on the Federal Reserve building and defending it. Gee, I wonder if the world bankers are getting a little nervous out there. They got their own paramilitary SWAT team to come in and save their behinds. In Minneapolis, of course, has one of the main Federal Reserve Bank buildings. At any rate, I just thought that was interesting. They didn't defend any other buildings, no commercial buildings. It was simply the Federal Reserve building in Minneapolis. And as I said, none of the sheriffs or the political or security entities in that area had any knowledge of this going on. So, I mean, who is in charge of this? Who did this? Who pulled the string on having this operation done? And what were they preparing for? So, just interesting. You can draw your own conclusions from that one. My two main science topics I want to talk to tonight, and I hope I have time to get it all in, I'm going to do a little bit of a Planet X update. And due to the new announcement that happened just recently where Standard Astronomy has admitted that they have had for a long time a search program searching for Planet X, and their results are exactly what I have been telling you all along. They have discovered not one, but multiple Planet X type of objects. And the reason they're saying this is because they found many smaller planets out there, which they don't want to call planets, but they're Pluto-sized, they're planets. Let's say, yeah, don't call them Kuiper objects, don't call them something stupid. Call them planets, that's what they are. And they're not the big planets, but they're being herded, shepherded is the astronomical term, and they are being directed by something much larger. So they're obviously seeing some other effects, but these are automated searches being conducted by professional astronomers, and they've come out and admitted that they are, and they've only searched an extremely small portion of the sky to date. And they're finding many, many planets, new planets, and they're also convinced that they are going to discover larger planets. And so, at any rate, that is the story. They've also said that there's no known mechanism for the formation of these planets, and so some form of capture is going on. And of course, that's what I said back in the 1970s when I was at Cornell. That's why I got tossed out of there, because I said planets, the planetary system is forming by capture. So it wasn't just my comet theory, the plasma discharge comet model, which got me in trouble with the astronomy department at Cornell and the space science and the physics department, etc. Actually was in the physics department teaching. That wasn't just my comet theory, it was the fact that I said that the planetary systems formed by capture, and that all of the earmarks of capture there in some kind of formation from a collapse of a nebular cloud is ridiculous. It doesn't explain the planetary movements. In fact, I pointed out many of the dichotomies, the contradictions in that theory, which came from Laplace back in the 1700s or something. And it looked like nice on paper when NASA does its animations. Everything looks pretty and it looks like it's happening, but they have the planets coalescing. But there's a little problem here. I'll just name one of the many. First of all, the Sun does not have much of the angular momentum of the solar system. And if all of this material collapsed, then it would... If this material collapsed in a swirling ball, then the majority of the angular momentum would be in the Sun. So then they come up with some out-of-the-pocket, hip-pocket explanation. They call it the Titari wind, that supposedly the Sun blew off all of this material early in its life to get rid of its angular momentum. But they don't say what happened with that or how this magically happened. But secondly, and even worse, the way that orbits work is the farther you go out from the central body, the slower the orbits. Things move slower. So Jupiter takes 10 years to go around the Sun, where Earth takes 1 year to go around the Sun. We're closer to the Sun, we move faster in our orbit, and we go around the Sun faster. And so at any rate, and Saturn is even slower, and the other planets are even slower. The inner planet Mercury whips around the Sun very quickly. So and Venus faster than us because it's in closer to the Sun. So anyway, if you have a nebular cloud collapsing and rotating, then the same principle applies. The dust or whatever, the micrometeorites or whatever farther out, move around the Sun much slower than the inner ones. So if you have something collapsing, what they're going to do is they're going to rotate slower on the outer side and faster on the inner side, and the coalescing planet would spin backwards. All of the planets, all of them spin in the forward direction, just like planet Earth. And so there's another contradiction. How do you make all of the planets spin completely the opposite way? Yeah. The number of contradictions is just outrageous. And so anyway, there's a set of authors that did a lot of work on capture back in the early 1900s. TJJC, and actually a descendant of Isaac Newton, did the work, and they were ostracized. But in Cornell's vast library, which has everything, the Library of Congress, I found those books, I studied them, and I realized they talked about something called the resisting medium, and they did the mathematical studies that the resisting medium in a solar system would cause these captured objects to, number one, create circular orbits from elliptical orbits, and it would reduce their energy, bringing them into smaller orbits. And so, but the end result was that there is no such resisting medium in the solar system. The solar system is pretty much empty. But then I came along with my plasma discharge comet model showing that the nuclei were attracting the material in the tail, and that was the force that caused the resisting medium. It was like a force pulling back on the planets as they were forming. So it confirmed that the planets were forming from comets. Not all comets form planets. And so my detractors try and say that, oh, McCartney says all the comets are planets. And it's like, no, it's like, you know, they can't say anything decent. They don't understand what I'm saying. And then they try and pick something out of context and blow it up and try and prove that McCartney's wrong or something. But the end result is that let's go back to these new discoveries of Planet X. What I pointed out back then also was that when you get out into the far reaches of the solar system, the solar wind blows and clears out a lot of material from the inner solar system, and it pushes it back into what I call the nebular ion cloud, which is held back out beyond the orbit of Pluto. When I started writing my work, and you can actually read this in my papers, which are in the appendix of the Planet X Comets and Earth Changes book, you'll find that I was talking about the region of Jupiter because we had not had any spacecraft out to that region, and most astronomers at the time thought that the effect of the solar wind would end somewhere around Jupiter. Well, that got pushed way back by simply by discovery, by sending satellites out there. And that's why it was important that I was at Cornell during those years. All of this data was coming in with this important information. Changing the boundaries of that effect of the solar wind was one of the major events. And so, at any rate, the reality is, and we can see this around many nearby stars, we see this nebular cloud that surrounds these stars. That is the source of material, and then also the plasma discharge of the solar capacitor. That is the region where all this material is coming from to form these large planets out there. And so the result is they are forming in the orbits of way out there. Many of these will have circular orbits, or not really circular, but they're not going to be orbits that will send them into the inner solar system. So many of the Planet X type of objects will be out in that region and never cross in towards Earth, but some of them will, and it's like any statistical average. Talking about statistics, now the statistics of solar system formation is a chapter in my three-part comet paper, which is the result of my work at Cornell back in the late 70s, early 80s. And so when you talk about planets or comets becoming planets and by capture, then this is a statistical process because these objects come in from all directions. Some of them don't become planets. Some of them have a pretty rough time if they're moving in the opposite direction. That's why the planets move in one direction. If one is moving in the opposite direction, it's not going to last long, and it's going to have some major interaction with another planet, typically not a collision, but a pretty disruptive interaction at a distance. So that's another term that I came up with, was action at a distance. So you can see that when I developed this idea of a comet, it's not just a standalone object or a theory. It's something that's fully integrated into the working of the solar system. What's going on right now with this announcement, this professional astronomer's finding exactly what I talked about, Planet X objects, in fact, large objects, planets of small sizes, many of small sizes, and there again, that's a statistical issue. One of the chapters of my early work was the statistics of solar system formation. So I had worked all of this out, and it's one of those typical things that happens when somebody makes a discovery. And they're working basically by themselves. This happens sometimes in mathematics. This happened when I did my prime number work. Basically, I was working by myself, and I knew it. I knew I was dealing with something brand new. And I had the time to sit down and work out all the details, follow the logical conclusions, what's going to happen. Now we no longer have a solar system that's forming by some kind of collapsing cloud. We have a solar system that's forming one by one as these objects come in. The cometary process takes its course. They begin to interact with the current planets in the solar system to either have interactions. Some of those interactions can be close. And then what's going to happen? And so then I knew that these were electrical. There were magnetic effects, primarily electrical effects, and I had to understand the electrical effects. And these are very subtle because gravity is the primary mover and shaker out there, that the paths of these objects follow the gravitational orbits. But they are affected not by being electrically charged, because the electrical charge is not bound tightly to the nucleus. It's actually a cloud around the nucleus. So there's a misnomer that somehow electrical or magnetic forces change orbits. There's a bunch of yahoos out there trying to copy my work who don't understand physics. They're not physicists. They don't understand plasma physics. They don't understand anything, and they're making all kinds of goofy claims. But the reality is that the electrical forces are actually minimal. if you look in a laboratory, you take an electron and a proton, for example, they have an attractive force, and the electrical attraction is enormous compared to their gravitational attraction, and that's what happens inside of an atom. But out in outer space, the gravitational forces work, are the dominant forces that control the orbits, and they are modified slightly by things such as the tail drag. And so that's an issue that causes the comets to change their orbits. We witnessed it with Hale-Bopp. One of the biggest disinformation campaigns in the planet revolved around Hale-Bopp. Now the standard story is that Hale-Bopp came near Jupiter and had its orbit modified, but we have, in fact, the daily ephemeris charts for Hale-Bopp, and it was not an interaction with Jupiter that changed its orbit. That's a, it's a repeated, textbook repeated explanation from standard science for why Hale-Bopp changed its orbit from a 4,200-year orbit to a 2,500-year orbit. We have comets now in the solar system right now. In fact, this comet that is up there that just crossed over the Orion Orion constellation, the and the comet orbit of this comet changed dramatically, and it never came near any planets. So the standard story in science, they can't keep it straight. The left hand and the right hand don't know what they're doing. But that's a wonderful case of a comet, and now I announced this on my webpage. There's an announcement with, which gives the, this comet has already gone by. It was naked eye visible. And I had an announcement on my webpage with a finder chart. But basically, the orbit of that comet changed dramatically. It went out with about half of the period of the orbit that it came in with. But it did not interact with any single planet. It's a very wonderful example of a comet changing its orbit simply due to, according to standard science, unknown factors. But according to what I do, it's a very expected factor, and that object, like every other comet that comes in the solar system, has the potential to become a permanent member of the solar system. And that's due to the tail drag. That's because, back to the early work, which I reference extensively in my early comet papers, the work of TJJC and Newton, and their work dealing with the capture processes in the solar system. And they also showed that due to statistics and other analysis that the nebular collapse theory of the solar system from Laplace, which is still quoted today, couldn't possibly be true. But that's what is taught in standard astronomy science. And of course, as I've always said, the majority of astronomers, space scientists, geologists, etc., stopped taking hardcore science early in their careers and started memorizing fairy tale science out of textbooks. And so that's why you have this hodgepodge of ridiculous science that couldn't possibly be true, and everybody repeating it because they don't know anything. They don't have good scientific backgrounds. They don't have good math backgrounds. They don't have good physics backgrounds or chemistry backgrounds. So how are they going to understand real physical principles if their hard science education is very much lacking? So at any rate, back to the statistics of solar system formation. And by the way, I'm preparing some detailed information in the background that I'll be releasing soon. And so just keep an eye out for that, because this is very complicated material. And the entire concept of explaining this, now it's difficult on the radio, because, you know, I'm talking, hopefully people have read my books as a primer, and then you can understand in better detail what I'm talking about right now. But the whole issue of understanding, this is a very complex aspect of physics. And so for the average person to understand it, well, it's difficult, because most professionals in the field do not understand it. But what I've tried to do is bring this down to a level where everybody can see what's going on. And just making another comment about the hurricane, for example, the hurricane's standard story for hurricane production couldn't possibly be true, doesn't work at all kinds of counterexamples. Where's the warm water in the North Atlantic Ocean for some of the major hurricanes that have occurred, including Sandy, which was, you know, racing through North Atlantic cold water? So where's the warm water that forms this hurricane? It's so beyond absurd. The contradictions are so blatant, but yet this is what weather.com is pawning off on you, the public, that somehow warm water is the source of energy for hurricanes. No, it's just, it's beyond ridiculously absurd. So, but if the public knew what the real source of energy was for hurricanes, that it was due to electrical conditions in the solar system, the obvious result was, look at all this energy coming down in the form of electricity. Why don't we tap into that? And the answer is that we should be. We don't need oil. We don't need coal. We don't need nuclear power to run our economy. Those are burn it once, and then you have to burn more and more and more, and you can't keep doing this forever. There's a source of free energy out there, and I'm not talking putting a box on a table and all of a sudden energy flows out. No, these are real sources of energy that are in the solar system. They're ultimately originating from the electrical conditions in the sun, and we have the ability to tap into that. That's what my wing project is all about. I've decided that wind energy is the most viable, easily controlled, transferable, everywhere energy source that occurs day and night. It's the viable source of energy to run the entire world. There's plenty of it, far more energy than we could ever use, and it's local. It can be produced locally. We don't have to burn these one-time burned high energy content fuels to produce electricity, but there again, that's a control mechanism in the world. That's what the bankers rely on. They're the same people that control water. They're the same people that control energy. They're the same people that control the U.S. Federal Reserve and therefore the federal government. And, you know, goes on and on and on. But it's extremely important for them to have fairy tale science to pawn off on the public, so that the public has no clue, you know, create the chaos and diversions in the world to keep the public at bay. That's why the news media is 100% lie. You can't find real news. I go to the standard news media outlets, and it's just like, I can't believe, this isn't news. This is stupid. This is, you know, man bites dog, ridiculous things. They pigeonhole people who they don't like, create, muddy up their name. The story is getting pretty old, and then they put up as straw horses, as straw leaders, this entourage of completely a bunch of buffoons, all from the same families, these rotating door families that become president, the Bushes, the Clintons. Gee, how many more Bushes and Clintons are we going to have as president? It's beyond absurd. Are they the only people in this country that can lead the country? You know, in my book, they're a bunch of raving idiots. Okay, so anyway, this is a complex topic, and I'm going to continue talking about it on a weekly basis, but I have some major Planet X presentations that are coming up, and I'm sure that there will be a lot of misinformation out there. There already is, so beware, buyer beware, the idiots like Marshall Masters or the other clowns that are running around the internet pretending they have seen Planet X or whatever. Total misinformation. And that's one reason why I think that the professional astronomers are coming out, because they have lost all credibility, the government-supported scientists. And by the way, these are Tier 2 scientists. So that's part of the quagmire also here, is that why are they allowing Tier 2 scientists to come out and make a statement that they have been searching for Planet X all along, not only searching but finding, not one but many, that the only process that could possibly account for these is capture, and they don't know how the planets form. They are literally confirming everything that I have been telling you for decades, literally confirming everything I have been saying. As I've explained, as I was guest on some other radio shows, this is the equivalent of calling down firepower on your own spot in military, hoping that the bombs hit the enemy who are right on top of you, hoping that your bombs from the airstrike hit the enemy and not on you. That's the equivalent of this announcement from the standard scientific community. But remember that this is tier two science making this announcement. It's not, we all know that they have automated search programs in tier one science that they're not telling us anything about. And of course they've discovered planet X type objects, etc. But allowing these tier two yo-yos to make this announcement publicly, and it comes out where? On weather.com, the Rothschild-owned weather service. So at any rate, enough of that, but I'm going to be coming out with more detailed information, and the purpose of my information is to educate the public regarding true science dealing with this entire complex issue of Planet X. Okay, on to the topic of water. I just have a little bit of time left here. The 1% of the world's water, less than 1% of the world's water, is available in the form of fresh water. So that's an incredible statistic. The majority of the water, 95% of the fresh water, is locked up into the ice caps, which, by the way, they talked about melting ice caps. The ice caps are refreezing in size much larger than they have ever been in the past. And that, once again, is fresh water. So we have a tremendous amount of water locked up into the ice caps, the polar ice caps and then the Greenland ice sheet. But even with that, there is not a water shortage. We have a water management problem. And with a coming economic collapse, which, by the way, is already here, it's already happened, it's in place. And you've got, like a President Obama who doesn't know anything, doesn't have any clue about what's going on. He's vying for paid vacation time as a requirement for jobs when people don't even have jobs. That would be another reason for employers not to employ people because of a federal regulation. And so people don't even have jobs because of Obamacare. They can't get an increase in pay. They can't get a permanent job because the employers can't afford Obamacare. You know, it's these people are in la-la land. But at any rate, the bottom line is you need water for your family. You need fresh water, even though it might come from a puddle in the backyard or a stream or a river nearby. You have to be able to filter your own water. And I live much of the year with water supplies that do not come out of a tap, any kind of municipal water supply. And filtration, and I drink water every day from the water filters, so you should too be prepared. Go to the webpage, jmccsci.com, and I'm out of time. This is Jim McKenney. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.